Jamelia says these words, "He is no fool who gives up but cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And so as we give to missions, as we consider missions, and what God would have us to do, just remember the example of James Elliott and his family, and the other missionaries as well, who gave so much of who they were in sharing the gospel with a lost world. We mentioned last week that we're going to take a little break from our current series in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 7 is the next session that we would normally be starting. And it's a great session with lots of good principles. I hope that we glean a lot of good insights from this passage. It talks about marriage. It talks about our sexuality within marriage. We're going to save that until after the first of the year. Month of December, we want to give our attention to Christmas. We've been doing that as we've been lighting our Advent candle each week. And this morning we did two of them, giving our attention to the Christ candle. We've been also enjoying Christmas hymns, and I know all of us are enjoying the Christmas season. This morning, we want to turn our attention to missions, a topic that is close to our hearts. This church has always been a very missions-minded church. Giving to missions, being missionaries ourselves, praying for missions, and recognizing the importance of missions. We're going to be looking ahead in our study in Corinthians. We'll be looking into chapter 9 and a few selected verses from that chapter to give our attention toward missions and reminding us of the importance of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, our call to continue to pray for missions, and whenever given the opportunity to be a missionary ourselves, sharing the gospel message with those that God brings to us. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. He had a heart for the gospel, a heart for sharing the gospel. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, we have these remarkable words of the Apostle Paul where he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I am entrusted with the stewardship." Our challenge today is to consider the words of the Apostle Paul, consider our own hearts, and consider whether or not we too are recognizing that we have an obligation. We have been entrusted with a stewardship, that we need to share the gospel as well. We need to echo with the Apostle Paul, "Woe to me if I do not share the gospel message." And the story of the Apostle Paul is a well-known story. It's a remarkable one. As you know, before Paul became a believer, he was actually a persecutor of the faith. But by the grace of God, he became a missionary, a proclaimer of the gospel. No longer a persecutor, but now a firm believer. And this all took place on Paul's famous road to Damascus experience. And Paul recognizes that it was the grace of God that brought about the change in his life, that brought him from an enemy of the faith to a proclaimer of the faith. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul will share some remarkable words about his own change that he experienced by the grace of God. This is what Paul writes in verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. He says, I am the least of the apostles. And I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. He's talking about the other apostles. And yet I, or not I, but by the grace of God that is in me. Notice that in verse 10, Paul uses the phrase grace three times. He understood his whole conversion as a result of God's grace in his life. The fact that he was a proclaimer of the gospel, had the privilege of sharing the gospel, was by the grace of God. And the grace of God is a key element of Paul's missionary message. We saw earlier in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, I always thank God because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. And then throughout Paul's letters, he comes back time and time again to that theme of God's grace and God's salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. Excuse me. Through faith, and this not from yourself, it was a gift from God. So Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I am entrusted with the stewardship. The idea of being entrusted carries this idea of being under an obligation, to have a duty to fulfill. Paul says, if I do not preach, I'm failing to discharge my duty to God. This was the heart of the Apostle Paul. And our challenge this morning is to consider our own attitude toward the gospel. Do we recognize the desire in our hearts to proclaim? Do we recognize if we fail to proclaim, we are failing to discharge a trust that has been given to us? We see this heart of the Apostle Paul so clearly in the book of Romans, chapters 9 and 10. Paul, in that particular passage, will say, in speaking of the Jews, he says, I speak the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I would wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. You know, we know the Apostle Paul generally as an apostle to the Gentiles. But Paul also had a burden on his heart for the Jewish people. This is seen throughout Romans 9, 10, and 11. Paul talks about God's plan of salvation for all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. But Paul has a special place in his heart for the Jewish people. And this is reflected in his willingness to be cut off from Christ for the sake of his brothers. We've been studying the book of Exodus, the story of Moses, in our Wednesday night Bible study. We saw a very similar situation in that study just recently, where Moses speaks to God and is willing to be cut off in favor with God if only God would show favor to his people. This is a exchange between Moses and God that took place right after the story of the golden calf there at Mount Sinai. And God was very angry with that. And he suggested to Moses that he was done with the people of Israel, and that he was going to start again with Moses and his descendants. Moses, in hearing that, pleaded with God to continue in his promises to his people. And he offered in that exchange one of the very same arguments that Paul offers here. Moses says, Lord, take me, cut me off, but embrace your people, fulfill your promises to your people. Paul and Moses wanted to exchange their place of favor with God for their fellow people. Now we know that we cannot trade places when it comes to our salvation. We can pray for people. We can intercede for people. We can proclaim the message of the gospel to people, but we can't just trade places with them. And that's what God would have us to do. Pray for them. Share with them. Share with them the message of God's mercy and grace. Share with them the gospel. That's what Paul did. That's what Moses did. That's what all missionaries do. And if we are to be missionaries, which is part of the whole Lottie Moon focus, we pray for missions, we give to missions, and we consider how we would be missionaries ourselves. That desire to share the gospel message with those around us. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, my brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Again, the heart of the Apostle Paul. He's praying for them. He's sharing with them. Are there people on your prayer list that you are praying that they would know the gospel, hear the gospel, receive the gospel? Back to 1 Corinthians again, Paul said, woe to me, if I do not preach the gospel, I am entrusted with a stewardship. Now in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there were some who were challenging Paul in his apostleship, questioning his legitimacy as an apostle. When we get in our own series to chapter 9, we'll talk more about that. One of the things that is a point of tension in the church between Paul and the people and the critics of Paul was that Paul was preaching the gospel for free, wasn't charging anything. And some of Paul's critics were saying, hey, listen, we don't pay the guy. He must not really be an apostle. It's a ridiculous argument. And again, I will come back to that. But Paul will share in 1 Corinthians that it was his choice to share the gospel for free. And he hasn't taken money from them. He doesn't desire to take money from them. But he does want to confirm that he indeed is an apostle called by God, and they are the fruits of his apostleship. And even though he himself does not want to be paid and has not yet been receiving money from them, he does recognize the fact that the church has an obligation to support financially those who share the gospel. And this morning we're going to look at a few of those verses and relate that to our own obligation and desire to share with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Paul's going to present a case, and the church being responsible to support those who proclaim the gospel. Now, Paul himself has not asked for support. In fact, we know from the story of the Apostle Paul that often he works with his hands and he supports himself. He was a tent maker when he first came to the city of Corinth. Instead of asking for money from the people, he found employment with Priscilla and Aquila in their tent making business there in the city of Corinth. Paul also received a little bit of financial support from other churches. In fact, he talks about this in the book of 2 Corinthians and the book of Romans and elsewhere as well. Churches from Macedonia had been supporting him. Paul had been to Macedonia earlier. And after Paul's time there, the church in Macedonia gave to him and supported him, and he was able to go to the city of Corinth and not have to seek money from the people there, but to be fully supported. In fact, this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, "For I testify that they here is the churches of Macedonia, they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability." There's a principle for us. Sometimes we want to give when it's comfortable. Give within our abilities. But the churches in Macedonia gave themselves. They gave beyond their ability. Verse 4, "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints." I hope we recognize that same idea as we give to Lottie Moon. It is a privilege. An interesting question is, why would Paul accept money from the Macedonian churches but not ask for any money from the Church of Corinth? I think one of the main ideas is this. Paul recognized in the Macedonian believers a spiritual maturity. And Paul knew that one sign of spiritual maturity is a willingness to support and to give and to pray and to contribute to the needs of the preacher of the gospel. He may not have seen that same level of spiritual maturity in the Corinthian church. In fact, we've talked about that already in our series so far. That Paul was a little concerned that he didn't see the same level of spiritual maturity in Corinth that he saw in Macedonia. So one of the points of application is this: a sign of our spiritual maturity is our willingness to pray, to give, and to go with the gospel. Starting in chapter 9, verse 7, Paul begins now to put forth a thorough case in which the worker of the gospel is worthy of financial support. Paul himself was foregoing that particular obligation, but he wants to instill within the believers there this idea that spiritual maturity shows itself in a contribution to those who bring the gospel to others. And that's what we're doing when we give to Lottie Moon. We are financially supporting the thousands of men and women who have committed themselves to sharing the gospel around the world. Paul begins chapter 9, verse 7. He says, "Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk?" And then verses 8 and following. "Do I say these things on human authority? No. Does not the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope in sharing in the crop. And then let's jump down to verses 13 and 14. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. When I was in seminary, I went to a seminary in Southern California that served many different church denominations. Many of the church traditions of my classmates were other than the Southern Baptist Convention, and they talked often about the need for them to work to raise their own funds for the field, and that took up a lot of their time. They either worked on the field or they spent much of their time raising support. And they were always it was always noteworthy that in the Southern Baptist Convention, the missionaries that are employed to serve are supported. They're supported through the cooperative program. They're supported through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And many of the people in these other denominations were amazed at how organized and efficient the Southern Baptist Convention has been through the cooperative program, through Annie Armstrong for home missions and Lottie Moon for international missions. And it was a sign that we were supporting those men and women who were giving themselves to serving the gospel. Paul says, those who proclaim the gospel should be supported through the gospel, should be supported through the local church. He talks about the words of Moses. He talks about the words of Jesus. There's this universal principle of the temple that Paul alludes to there in those verses. It's seen in the Levitical workers in the Old Testament. It's even seen in the city of Corinth. Even the pagan temples recognize this. When we get later to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll talk more about the offerings that were made at the pagan shrines there in the city of Corinth. But the point that Paul is making here is everybody knows the common practice of supporting those people who are sharing the gospel and committed to the service of the gospel. So he's building a case for this, the financial support of the church for the sharing of the gospel. And Paul himself was worthy of this. Remember, he was the founding pastor of this church. He was an apostle chosen by God. The church ought to have been supporting him financially, and maybe in time they will, as he continues missionary work elsewhere. Again, this goes back to 2 Corinthians, where Paul, writing to the church later on, says the Macedonian believers understand that supporting mission work is part of their obligation. So the idea is, in time, when spiritual maturity is at that point, that they too will be willing to give and to share in the presentation of the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I am entrusted with a stewardship. As we close this passage today, I want to look at three things that we are seeing in Paul's response and attitude and encouragement here. One is his attitude. Number two is his commitment. And number three is his expectation to preach. We've already touched upon Paul's attitude. What was on his heart? And that was that salvation comes to all those who would hear and receive the gospel message. In fact, even when Paul came to the city of Corinth, he came with the gospel, that simple presentation. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I was resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That was his attitude. His commitment was to an obligation. From Paul's perspective, he didn't choose to preach the gospel. He was called to preach the gospel. He was living under a stewardship, an obligation. He didn't decide himself to travel around the churches. I think the application for us as well is we don't decide on setting a particular goal for Lottie Moon. We don't decide individually on how much we're going to give to Lottie Moon. It is an obligation placed upon us. It is an obligation that is entrusted to us. Paul did not see his work as optional. He didn't see his work as commendable. He saw it as a calling and as a commission from God to engage in proclaiming the gospel. He could not preach. I hope we all are being challenged as we consider this. Do we feel that same burden? Do we feel that same sense of obligation being entrusted with a stewardship? I hope we recognize that in the Great Commission, Jesus commanded all of his followers to become those who would bring the message. A familiar passage, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus commissions us. He commands us. He puts us under an obligation. Another familiar passage is Acts chapter 1, verse 18. Again, the words of Jesus to his gathered followers. The words of Jesus to you and I in this room. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Again, it's a command. You will be. It is not optional. It is an obligation. And finally, there's that expectation. And the expectation is that the gospel message be proclaimed. The study of Acts shows the gospel message often by the words of the Apostle Paul being proclaimed throughout the history of the church, and even to this day as we give to missions, as we pray for missions, we're carrying on that expectation that the gospel message would go out. And it's not conditional. The Apostle Paul didn't make his proclamation of the gospel conditional. We sometimes make our witnessing, our sharing of the gospel with others, something that's conditional. We always make excuses why we do not share. We don't think that the people are going to be receptive, and so we don't want to share with them. We have other things that we think are more important of our time and energy. We need to pray, we need to give, and we need to proclaim. We need to share our faith and tell others about the salvation that is available in Jesus Christ without conditions. Sharing the gospel because it is an obligation that has been placed upon us so that salvation would become available to a lost world. One final verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It kind of pulls all this together. As Paul says, and again, we will come back and look at some of these verses later on in our series, but just to anticipate the heart and the passion of the Apostle Paul, he says, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to participate in the missions endeavor, that we are able to pray for missions, we're able to give and support missionaries. And Father, let us take advantage of every opportunity that you have given to us to be proclaimers of that gospel message ourselves. Let us live under the same burden that was on the heart of the Apostle Paul, who says, woe to me if I do not preach and share the gospel. I have been placed under an obligation. I have been entrusted with a stewardship. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to be our Savior. And we thank you for calling us to be your proclaimer and to share the gospel message with others. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.